Chapter 32, The Doomed City. Doom is a terrible word to speak of one's own city. Ezekiel in Babylon would gladly have spoken of the prosperity of Jerusalem, but he knew as clearly as Jeremiah knew that the Chaldean power would inevitably lay waste Jerusalem. He knew also that there was no hope for a strong and healthy life among the exiles in Babylon unless they recognized that they were to stay in that land. As long as their thoughts were set upon a speedy return to Palestine, they would not accommodate themselves to the conditions in Babylon. Ezekiel, even more than Jeremiah, preached by symbol and picture. One day the Jewish exiles saw the prophet sitting down with a soft clay brick in his hand. It had not yet been baked in the sun. Upon the brick, with a sharp instrument, he was drawing. Naturally, they drew near to see what he was doing. He was making a rude picture of Jerusalem and drawing the forts and mounds of a besieging army. He was marking out the camps and the places of the battering rams. He preached no sermon that day, but allowed the people to draw their own conclusions from the picture. Again, Ezekiel brought out, in the sight of the people, a quantity of wheat and barley and other grains, and made them into bread, baking them upon the commonest refuse that he could secure. When the bread was ready, he brought out a bottle of water. By this time, the people were naturally wondering what it meant. When the mealtime came, he measured off a small quantity of bread and a little water and took that as his only food, and so he did repeatedly. And then he told them what Jehovah's message had been to him, which had led him to this picture of the short rations of a famine. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight and with fearfulness, and they shall drink water by measure and in dismay, that they may want bread and water, and be dismayed one with another, and pine away in their iniquity." Again Ezekiel shaved off his hair and carefully weighed it on scales. A third of it he burned in the fire. Another third he struck with his sword. The remaining third, with the exception of a few hairs, he flung to the winds, and even of those few hairs that were left, he burned part in the fire. To the startled people around, he explained that so would Jehovah destroy Judah. Scarcely anything should remain. "Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord Jehovah, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things, and with all thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee, neither shall mine eye spare, and I also will have no pity. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence, and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee, and a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee, and a third part I will scatter unto all the winds, and will draw out a sword after them." After Ezekiel had continued for some time with these symbolic teachings, he fell into another trance. It seemed as if a hand seized him and caught him up and transported him to the city of Jerusalem, to that very temple with which he had been so familiar but a few years before. When he reached the temple, he beheld that same wonderful vision of the glory of Jehovah which he had seen in his first trance. It meant to him that Jehovah was still abiding in Jerusalem. His mysterious conductor brought him to the court of the temple and bade him look through a hole in the wall at what was going on. There he saw all kinds of abominable idolatry. Then said he unto me, "Son of man, hast thou seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in his chambers of imagery? For they say, Jehovah seeth us not. Jehovah hath forsaken the land." He said also unto me, "Thou shalt again see yet other great abominations which they do." And he brought me into the inner court of Jehovah's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of Jehovah, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of Jehovah and their faces toward the east. And they were worshipping the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, "Hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? for they have filled the land with violence and have turned again to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in wrath. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet I will not hear them. Then in the mysterious vision he saw messengers of slaughter summoned by the angel, and the glorious vision of Jehovah moved away from the holy place of the temple as far as the threshold. The prophet in his vision saw a man with an inkhorn and a pen. He was commanded to find out everyone in Jerusalem who had a godly sorrow for the wickedness. And Jehovah said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry over all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. After these few righteous had been marked for salvation, everybody else in the city was to be slain. It was a vision of judgment. And then the prophet saw that same mysterious chariot of the glory of Jehovah rising, leaving the threshold of the temple, leaving the city, moving eastward, and he knew that it meant that Jehovah had forsaken Jerusalem. And in the vision, the prophet was brought back to Babylon. His trance was over, and he told the people what he had seen. The next thing that the Jews in Babylon saw of Ezekiel was the very strange action of moving his goods out of his house. They saw him carrying his stuff upon his shoulder and deposit it in a certain place. Without a word, he continued that conduct for a time in the daylight. When evening came, it was found that Ezekiel had left his house and had gone to the place where his goods were piled. He put them on his shoulder and covered his face and made an effort to escape with the stuff. What could such conduct mean? He turned to them and told them plainly what it meant. He was trying to get them to see that Jerusalem was an unsafe place. The king, princes, and the people that went there would in a very little time be making every effort to escape, disguised from the city for fear of their enemies, and carrying what goods it was possible to bear with them. Say, I am your sign, like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall go into exile, into captivity, and the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the dark, and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, because he shall not see the land with his eyes. Ezekiel summed up what he had to say upon this one great subject of the inevitable doom of Jerusalem by bidding the people realize that with fear and terror the people back in Judah must eat their food. Moreover, the word of Jehovah came to me, saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling and with fearfulness, and say unto the people of the land, Thus saith the Lord Jehovah concerning the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the land of Israel. They shall eat their bread with fearfulness and drink their water in dismay, that her land may be desolate and despoiled of all that is therein, because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be a desolation. And ye shall know that I am Jehovah.